Our scripture reading for today is from Proverbs 9, verses 10 through 11, and Proverbs 22, verses 6. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through wisdom, your days will be many, and your years will be added to your life. Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Donna. So we live in an age of information and innovation, influence, and our children are growing up in a world where values shift rapidly, where truth seems relative, and where screens compete for their attention. The world as we know it offers many blessings: modern medicine, speedy transportation, vast technologies that provide instant results and ease to daily life. But it is also filled with a lot of distractions, a lot of misinformation, a lot of different ideas on what it means to be successful, to be happy, and to have peace. We live in a time where our children are surrounded by what we call media influencers. And I think many of them, some have great influence, but I believe many of them prey on our children because they are at an age where they are easily molded and influenced. Just some examples that come to mind were the Tide Pod Challenge, or the jumping out of a moving car challenge, just this whole, like, I bet you won't do this, and just seeing just the mass of people that would actually engage in a challenge like that. You think, why would anybody do that? But it just shows you how powerful peer pressure can be. And this is not just a problem for our youth, it's a problem for adults as well. Media influencers push labels, and they define beauty, and they do these massive unboxings. You guys ever watch those where they just open a big box full of things, and they go, wow, look at all this stuff I got. Wow, look, this stuff is going to change my world, and this stuff is going to make my life so much better. And while we're trying to teach our kids to be content, to not covet, to be selfless, they come at us saying, I gotta have this. I need this. Everybody else has it. I want, I want, I want. So how then, in this world, do we raise children to be rooted, resilient, and to seek holiness? I mean, that is the challenge, right, parents? Do you feel me on that one? The book of Proverbs is filled with timeless wisdom of God, and then offers us clear guidance. And someday we will do a deep dive into the book of Proverbs. But today I'm going to highlight two passages that offer us encouragement for our families, because we're talking about family matters in this series. Encouragement for our families as we try to reach children in our modern world. And though these Proverbs were written centuries ago, the truths contained in them are more relevant than ever, in my opinion. And we're going to highlight three essential things that really need to take precedence in the home if we want to raise children who trust Jesus when the world teaches them not to, and to relate to Jesus and reflect him above the world. So to raise children in a modern world, to teach them to be rooted and resilient and righteous, the foundation must be in the fear of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 begins with, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Now understand, fear of the Lord does not mean terror or dread. God does not want us to fear him in the sense that we must be afraid of him. God is relational. He desires deep relationship with his creation. And God knows that you don't build relationship by instilling fear into people, right? By making them afraid of you. Is God scary sometimes? Absolutely. Right? There are lots of stories in the Bible where God unleashes his wrath and discipline, and we're like, what in the world? You know, like the story where he unleashes two bears to maul a bunch of youth for calling a guy bald. Some of you are looking at me like, what? It's there. Go look at it. 2 Kings verse, chapter 2. But listen, I'm sure there have been several times where I have left the room after having a heated discussion with one of my children, and they go and tell the others, oof, stay away from mom, she is scary mad. But they know that I love them, and when I discipline, it's because I love them and I want what's best for them. We parents don't always get it right, right? We're not perfect people. But we do have their best interest at heart. God, however, always gets it right. God disciplines, but he is also long-suffering. You remember that word from last week? What's another word for long-suffering? Patient. God is patient. You ever see those door hangers on Etsy that say, if you hear me yelling in here, please know I asked nicely 26 times. That's parenthood sometimes. And God is a parent to us. He is always working for our good. And sometimes that comes in blessings. Sometimes that comes in discipline. But we know that he loves us and he is for our good. So fear of the Lord means deep reverence. It means awe. It means humble submission to God. It's understanding that God is holy, sovereign, he is all-knowing, and he is worthy of our time, our trust, and our obedience. So how do we lay that foundation? Teach your children that God is not just a part of life. He is the source. And that is the core issue of our society today. We are so busy. We are overcommitted. We give ourselves to so many other areas of life that worship is just something we hope to make it to, you know, and sometimes we don't, either because we're too tired or we have something else going on. We don't pray at the start of the day because we're getting ready for the tasks that lay ahead of us and our minds are, you know, stuck on that. And we don't pray at the end of the day because we are just plain exhausted. And in between that time, you know, we go to work, we go to school, we go to this practice or that practice. We pick up dinner before we go to the gym or to a board meeting. And then maybe we go home. And we barely had time to even think about God. So God is only a part of our lives. So that's an opportunity to lay a foundation where God is the source. How do we teach our kids to make him the source? And, you know, I think the first answer is you have to model that for them. If it's not important to you, it's not going to be important to them. So you ask your kids, you know, you talk to your kids about God. You ask them where they saw God in the business of the day. You teach them to pray before meals so that they are taking time to give thanks for what they have, but that they're also developing those rhythms throughout the day where they pause and think about God. Do we have a picture in here? Jason, yes. Okay. This is before one of Carly's soccer games. Can you see what they're doing? They're praying. And I think they might have lost that game, but that was a parenting win to look out and see them doing this. That other team could have mercied them, and yet they're all winners in my book because of that. Because for me, I mean, I can't speak for her, I can't speak for the rest of her team, but for me, this is not about winning. It's about being a team. It's about building character. And that is what they're doing in that moment, is that they took time out before the start of that game. They prioritized. and they invited God into what they were doing, to be a part of their team, to be with them. Sometimes God still lets us loose, you know, to teach us a few things about ourselves. But they know that God loves them. And that was not the first time I saw that team praying together. Friends, that is winning in life. You help them see that wisdom begins not with intelligence or success, but with humility before God. That proverb goes on to say, through wisdom, your days will be many. Children who are grounded in God's wisdom are far more likely to make choices that lead them to long-term blessings. They learn to discern right from wrong. They learn to discern truth from error, faith and foolishness. And for them to do this, you have to model a life of reverence. You have to pray with them. You have to worship with them and speak of God's greatness throughout the day. Which leads me to the second thing that is needed to raise children in our modern world. After the foundation comes the practice. And this is intentional training. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child. So that word train is not passive, it is active. It implies effort and consistency and direction. Raising children isn't just about protecting them from the world. It is about preparing them to live in it with purpose and perseverance. Train up a child in the way he should go. This implies that every child is unique. They have their own personalities. They have their own gifts and talents. They have their own calling. And we need to nurture that. We need to nurture each child according to how God has designed them and guiding them toward their plan, God's plan for their life. So families, some practical application for intentional training might be, you know, creating those rhythms or routines where we are praying, we're reading the scripture, we're serving others, we're practicing Sabbath. You set healthy boundaries with the media, with your relationships. Affirm their identity in Christ more than in their performance, in their academics. What we don't want is for our kids to grow up saying, I'm nothing without this degree, or I'm nothing without football. They were created for much more than that. Talk about life issues, you know, relationships, integrity, justice, from a biblical lens. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, it's important to understand here that this last part is not a guarantee. It is a principle. Because sometimes that last part gets refuted, especially by parents who raise their children in the faith, only to watch them walk away from it. But it's a principle. It's not a guarantee. If you look at a Chinese bamboo tree, after planting the seed, you water it and you care for it for an entire year. And then you know what you see? Nothing. After the second year, you know what you see? Nothing. Years 3 and 4, nothing. And you might start to wonder, what was all this for? But in the fifth year, something amazing happens. That tree shoots up over 80 feet in 6 weeks. Did it only start growing in those 6 weeks? No. It was growing underground all along. It was building the foundation strong enough to support rapid growth. Parenting and training a child in the way they should go, that can feel slow. You may not always see the fruit. As Mr. Riedenauer told us parents before he gave his grand speech to the seniors, the days are long, but the years are short. So you keep watering, you keep praying, you keep guiding, because when the time is right, your child may shoot up character and wisdom and faith, and you'll know that it was God and your faithfulness that prepared the way. Seeds planted in youth often bear fruit later in adulthood. And even if they stray for a season, the word of God is sown in their hearts, and it will not easily be forgotten. And the third thing we need is partnership, parents and community. It takes a village, right? And that's one of the reasons why church matters, why church is still relevant, despite what society would have us to believe. Because raising children is not a solo mission. Parenthood can often feel lonely at times, especially when we're going through something very difficult with our kids. But that's when you should lean into your circle. Lean into your people, because parenthood is really a divine partnership between parents, the church, and the Holy Spirit. So for the church, you know, the advice is be a village that surrounds each child in prayer. Surround them with encouragement. Surround them with accountability. Rally around parents with resources and support. Engage children with truth in age-appropriate, creative, and spirit-filled activities. And for parents and guardians, stay humble and teachable. Ask God for wisdom daily. And be present. The greatest gift we can give our kids is consistency and intentional presence. Don't aim for perfection, but for faithfulness. Graduates, we celebrate you today. You've reached an incredible milestone, and we are proud of the work you have done to get to this point. But more than your achievements, we are proud of the people you are becoming. And as you prepare to leave the nest, I think I heard that term ad nauseum Friday with the senior breakfast and the senior parade. I heard leave the nest. If I heard it once, I heard it 1,000 times. And it was a sucker punch to my mama's stomach. But I have to keep telling myself, this is what they're supposed to do, right? This is what we trained them for. Seniors, you probably heard leaving the nest and thought, finally, they're done raising me. Not so fast, right? If it helps at all, you could look to us now as your life coach, though we will always be your parents, right? But as you prepare to leave the nest, whether it's college or work, whether it's dorm life or apartment living, remember the words of Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In a world full of options, let God be your compass. The fear of the Lord is a compass you can trust in any terrain, whether it's college, careers, relationship, or crises. The world will teach you to move quickly. God will teach you to move wisely. You will encounter new ideas, challenges, freedoms. Use wisdom. Stay rooted in what is true. The foundation of your parents, your family, your pastors, your youth leaders, your Sunday school teachers, the foundation they have helped lay beneath you, that wasn't just for your formative years. That was for life. And remember Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. Every single one of you graduates, I just said it, but I'm going to say it again. You have incredible character, and I don't say that because I'm supposed to. I say it because it's true. You're all remarkable people, and we are blessed to have been a part of your journey into adulthood. But remember, you are who you are today because you carried with you the teachings, the values, the love of your family, your church, and all the mentors and teachers who poured themselves into you. And all of that has been undergirded in prayers for you. Graduates, imagine your life is like a long journey ahead of you, because that's what it is. And today, you're packing your backpack. Everyone's going to offer you something to take. Culture will offer you trends. Friends will offer you opinions. The world will offer its version of success. But don't forget to pack the essentials, including what's out there on the table. Truth, integrity, humility, faith, fear of the Lord. These are the values your parents, your pastors, your teachers have been putting in your backpack for years. And they may not seem flashy. They may not seem popular. They may not glimmer. But when the storms come, and they will, you will find that what is in your backpack is what keeps you steady. Don't trade timeless wisdom for temporary applause. Don't leave all that behind. Let them guide your choices. Don't just make God a part of your life. Make him the source. Stay close to God. And when you don't know what to do, you lean into him because he is faithful to lead you. We believe in your future because we believe in the one who holds it. So go forward with courage, humility, and faith, and never forget this church is always your home. In a world that often pulls children away from the truth, our calling is clear. You lead them to Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And we are to raise them not in fear of the future, but in faith in God who holds their future. We plant seeds of wisdom, we water them with love, and then we trust God with the growth. Proverbs 9:10 gives us the foundation. Proverbs 22:6 gives us the framework. And God gives us the strength to make that happen. Let us be a generation that raises children who know the Lord, who love the Lord, and live for him. Let us pray. Father, in a world full of noise and distraction, help us raise children who listen to your voice. Give us wisdom to train them in your truth, patience to walk with them through struggles, and faith to believe that you are at work in their hearts. And may our homes be places, may our churches be places, where your name is honored and your love is known. In Jesus' name, amen.